broadcast or 30-second, you know, play time or whatever, I didn't want it to be in the, you know, the middle of a 30-second introduction that didn't go anywhere musically. So I wrote them in short segments. So you'll notice that, you know, there's nothing more than 8 bars in length before it changes to another, something different in the song. There's no long meandering introductions. It kind of jumps right in and, you know, then there's a melody and then there's a B section and then maybe recap melody and on like that. Tim made it so that there's, you don't have to listen very long before something different happens in the music. Beyond that, they were kind of known for kind of a contemporary jazz feel. Of course, some of my favorite art, not that this is in any way, I'm not trying to insinuate that my music has anything in common or even begins to sound like it would be presumptuous and for me to do so. But, you know, I love artists like Pat Metheny, probably one of my all-time favorites, and particularly his more melodic music. And so I tried to be aware of some of the trends, I guess, in contemporary jazz or smooth jazz, as it came to be known. And so that's really it, is just to try to make something melodic and that doesn't sit on one theme very long, so that, you know, if it's behind the weather forecast, that there's always something changing in the music.
Indeed. And definitely I would say that the 8-bar combination probably shows a great deal of blues and rock influence, I'd say.
Yeah, sure. That's a, you know, traditional format.
I mean, how did the Weather Channel influence the creation? I mean, did they give you a free hand, or was it a situation where, you know, you kind of had to work within a template?
Well, they gave me a free hand. I'm thankful for that. I had a meeting with the person who hired me to do the music. He told me, you know, we discussed what it was, what their needs were, and how it should be presented. And I delivered them I'd probably write 10 or 12 pieces and deliver that to them, write 10 or 12 more, deliver that to them. And thankfully, they didn't kick anything back. They accepted everything, and it was quite easy. It's not always the case as a producer, you know, but they were very easy to work with.
That's very good. But you know, there always is this seeming friction between, you know, one's creativity and your work's marketability. I mean, what are your thoughts on that kind of thing, you know, as a musician who's done stuff for not only the Weather Channel, but for others as well?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And one that I contemplate quite a lot. There's a couple of ways to look at that. Some people, and I've done this myself, you know, you might try to write to a format, and definitely the Weather Channel music was written to a format. I mean, it had an application. So, I guess the delineation is that if you're hired to write music for a purpose, then you have to kind of understand that purpose and write within the parameters so that it serves the purpose. And your job is to basically, as in every job, is to solve a problem for a client. In this particular situation, the Weather Channel had a problem and they needed it solved. And so I had to work within the confines of what their needs were and the image that they'd already established by playing, you know, so much smooth jazz on the local forecast. So if I'd come in there with, you know, blues music with, you know, dobros and harmonicas, it wouldn't have worked. So there's that. So I might say that when you're writing within a purpose, it's not to necessarily say you write to a formula, although I just got through laying out the formula I used, generally speaking, but, you have to understand the application in commercial music. And by commercial, I don't mean, it could be, you know, TV or radio commercials, but, music for a commercial app that has a specific purpose, not just music for somebody to just enjoy and listen to and zone out on, you know, whatever emotion you're trying to transmit. Now, within that, you do try to, obviously, the creativity does is very important, because you want to write to a purpose, but without necessarily seeming like you've written to a purpose or written to a formula. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I guess there's they're kind of blended, I guess. In the case of the Weather Channel music, the music that you, there was a specific need and a specific purpose. And so while honoring that purpose, and the need of the client, you try to do something creative within those parameters. So I guess that's kind of how I tried to think about that. Beyond that though, in music that is just meant as a pure artistic statement or music that's meant as an emotional, statement. I had a client in my studio last night. We were talking about the fact that, you know, ultimately what we're trying to sell are chill bumps. I mean, you want to get an emotional response, or you want to give the listener, an emotional response or trigger an emotional response. And to me, I've always said for years, and this just happened twice in the last 3 days, if you play something for somebody and it brings a tear to their eye, to me, that's the highest compliment you can possibly get, because that can't be faked, and you know you've touched their heart in some kind of way. So there's, again, there's, I guess, two answers to your question. The first, as I said, if there's a specific commercial purpose to the music, you have to respect that purpose, but then try to be creative within those parameters. And then if there's, for example, I'm glad you have an opportunity to kind of broadcast this. Because of all the response and the positive response I've gotten from so many people about the Weather Channel music, I decided a couple of years ago to write new music specifically for them. And that's in a kind of a contemporary jazz, or lack of a better word, smooth jazz format. And as luck would have it, I started on the record. I have about 8 songs in various states of completion. 2 years later, I had every intent for this to be finished and released 2 years ago. And, you know, I'm a working producer and recording engineer. And, as luck would have it, client work has been thankfully busy. And so it hasn't left enough time for me to finish my project. Sort of the old cobbler's children's shoes. The children of the cobbler have the worst shoes because they're working on everybody else's. And so anyway, my point is, I do have a new project in the works. And so coming back around to your question, I think about that. It's like, okay, do I try to write this music with the same formula or formulaic ideas I had for the Weather Channel music? Because that's what brought me to this point in the first place with this fan base. Or should I just look at this as a musical expression and not be worrying about, you know, 8-bar modules in the songs, or, you know, it's okay if it has a 45-second introduction or whatever. And I've kind of come down on the side of not trying to think about the formula too much. Because I think in an ideal world, now that's kind of, self-indulgent in some ways, but you want to just tell your story and not be, you know, kind of not be bound by those parameters of, okay, this is going to play for 30 seconds and we got to get into the theme and, you know, 8 seconds in and all that sort of thing. So some people will argue, you know, if you try to write for radio as an artist expression, then you end up making those compromises. And so the danger in that is that you end up writing music that sounds formulaic and at risk of, I don't mean to sound like not to criticize anything. Respect everyone that's like, for example, in smooth jazz radio now, but you can hear when music is written for a radio format versus written, as a expression of, an emotional expression on part of the composer. The sounds, you'll have basically a box of sounds that everybody uses. You might have Fender Rhodes and a loop, or, you know, pretty simple drum beat, saxophones and octaves. And, you know, I mean, they're just sounds that sometimes it's hard to tell one artist from another because of the formulaic nature of not only the grooves, but the sounds they use. And that's great. I mean, that's a vocabulary. I mean, jazz trios are a vocabulary and people do brilliant work with that. So again, not to criticize that, but what I'm trying to do is, maybe think in terms of using those sounds, but maybe expand on those. Now, that may relegate me to having no chance of having airplay on some of these stations by bucking that trend, but I think ultimately the listener will enjoy it. So I guess to answer your question, I know I'm rambling here, but if there's a purpose for the music, you have to write within the boundaries that, that serve that purpose. If the music is meant as an emotional and an artistic expression, then there are no boundaries.
All right, very well. Now, finally, to ask this, I mean, because you've answered pretty much all the other questions I had concerning other projects and your thoughts on it, I want to ask, as an independent producer and artist, you know, you said, you know, the record companies are going down and, you know, you're kind of doing your own thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on the independent musician, you know, as we, you know, move toward, you know, I guess a world where the record companies have very little power versus, you know, the small producer these days? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think the major record companies still have a lot of power. I mean, they do. You know, Miley Cyrus or Katy Perry, those acts don't happen by accident. I mean, they're great. They're talented. And I actually like the new Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off, that's out. I think it's a really catchy song. And so my hat's off to her. But the independent labels, I think, are the ones that are probably are suffering the most. And I worked in the independents. I never worked directly for a major. Came close to it right at the end of my tenure. Actually was in discussions with starting a label for the BMG label, parent company. But regardless, that's another story. The challenge that independent artists have today is how to make money doing what we do. And I'm old enough to, you know, go back to a time when, you know, you wanted music, you went to a store and you bought it. Maybe a friend would make you a cassette tape, or in the 90s, a friend with a expensive CD player could burn you a CD copy. But the original CD burners were $4,000 or $5,000 each when they first came out. So cassette tapes are, you know, were the way people shared music. And so that was not particularly damaging to the bottom line of the artist. So the debate.